The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome again to Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are so glad that you're with us today as we take a look at the recent history of Free Grace Theology. No, the Grace Evangelical Society didn't start Free Grace Theology. There were others before us. Dave Renfro and Bob Wilkin will talk about it in the next few minutes after I tell you about our website, faithalone.org, and all the great resources that you can find there. Coming soon, May 22nd through the 25th, the Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2023 will be here. You don't want to miss it. There's a free registration fee if you're a first-timer, and it is going to be a great time this year. Here is Ken Yates with a descriptive word about that conference.
A lot of people I talk to in different places around the country, Free Grace churches are hard to come by. To be with like-minded people who challenge you, who encourage you, it's just a wonderful experience. And I know there's a lot of people who come to the conference who feel the exact same way.
Thank you, Ken Yates. And friend, get registered today. Time is running short, but you haven't missed it. Go to our website, faithalone.org, and get details and get registered. We would love to see you at our national conference. And now, Dave Renfro, Bob Wilkin with today's question and answer.
Welcome back to Grace in Focus. What do you got for us this time, David?
Well, we have another question in an email from Ruth.
What does Ruth ask?
Are there any pre-Zane Hodges writers that hold to free grace? And your title is Pre-Zane Hodges Free Grace Writers.
Yeah, and she actually says, I think her husband's a DTS grad.
My husband is a DTS grad and introduced
me. David and I both graduated.
Exactly.
But we graduated before the crust had cooled on the planet.
Exactly.
It was exciting before the flood, wasn't it?
Wasn't it before the flood? But now those were fun days.
But the weird thing is we had to hitch a ride on top of the ark.
That's right.
Because only eight people were in the ark.
Right.
But we aren't told how many people were hitchhiking on top.
No, we're not.
Okay, that was not the truth. We were just having fun there. Okay, well, let me mention a few of them. Robert Sandeman. And Robert Sandeman was basically a Calvinist who became a free grace person. John Nelson Darby, one of the early Plymouth Brethren. C.H. McIntosh, another early Plymouth Brethren in the 19th century. John Glass was a Scottish pastor who read The Marrow of Modern Divinity, which is another book that's basically free grace from about, I think, 1620, 1640.
I remember it well when it came out.
Yeah, you got the paperback version.
That's right.
I think you got the handwritten version because the printing press wasn't going real well.
Well, it was still in its early stages.
But anyway, John Glass was one. And by the way, he influenced the Plymouth Brethren. One of the reasons why they have elder rule and the Lord's Supper every week is because Glass influenced them. The book, The Marrow of Modern Divinity, that I mentioned, Lewis Berry Chafer, who I'm sure you remember, David. He passed in the year I was born, 1952, but you were probably around long before that.
Wow. I did know people that were very good friends. In fact, one of them, who was a very good friend of my grandmother's, gave me an autographed set of Chafer's Theology. Every volume is autographed by Lewis Berry Chafer. I mean, what a gift.
Priceless. It really is good. So these would be some. I'd also mention Charles Ryrie. We both had Dr. Ryrie as one of our professors. I had him for both soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, and what they called senior theology, which was another name for it, was torture chamber. Dr. Ryrie would say, okay, Mr. Wilkin, and then he'd ask some tough question, you know.
He loved to rake people over the coals.
I know.
He was something else.
And he spoke at our conference when he was about 86, and I remember he said, I'm so old, I don't even buy green bananas anymore. He wasn't really that funny of a man, but occasionally he'd throw real funny things
He did have a sense of humor, but let's say he controlled it.
So anyway, if pre-Zane Hodges writings, yeah, there's lots of them. And guess what? There are probably lots of free grace writings between, let's say, 100 and 1519 with Luther's 95 Theses. We just don't have them. They didn't survive.
Right.
These would have been handwritten manuscripts that either fell apart over time or were destroyed by the Orthodox or destroyed by the Catholics or whatever reason, we didn't get them. But that doesn't mean there weren't people who didn't write things that were free grace before the invention of the printing press.
I think that there were probably so many free grace gatherings, assemblies. I wouldn't even call them churches, but maybe we would call them home Bible studies.
Right.
But they would be free grace, but they would also be horribly persecuted by, for example, the Catholic Church or some other Orthodox faith.
That's
because
right.
It's totally, they would call them just horrible names, I'm sure.
Well, remember that both Luther and Calvin had Anabaptists killed.
Mm-hmm.
They would behead them or burn them at the stake. And an Anabaptist was someone who practiced adult baptism of someone who'd already been baptized as a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was baptized when I was about 9 months old in the Orthodox Church. Then at 20, when I came to faith, I was baptized again. Well, that made me an Anabaptist because I was baptized twice. And there are some people who think, and Luther and Calvin thought this, that baptism was once and for all, and you mm-hmm. didn't redo it.
And therefore, because you got baptized twice, you're worthy of death.
Right, right, yeah, exactly. That was weird. But what is our question?
Pre-Hodges authors.
Pre-Hodges authors. And we were basically saying lots of them, and they were, in many cases, little assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Romans 16 mentions 15 or 16 different small assemblies, only three of which met in homes.
Mm-hmm.
The other 12 or 13 met in what Robert Jewett calls tenement churches, mm-hmm. which were like apartment buildings that were like little just 10 by 10 square room,
mm-hmm.
and they would pack in 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 people in that little room, and that would be their church.
That's amazing, isn't it? They didn't need a fancy church. And then all of a sudden, in Europe, you have those incredible cathedrals that are still there. I love to visit them, but they're spiritually dead. Most of them are.
And not too many locals attend.
No, no, they're
empty.
It's
mostly us that come in from the United States that attend.
Exactly.
I went to York and Minster. Sharon and I were there, and we loved hearing their eventide or whatever it was called. It was 5 p.m., and they had an adult choir and a boys' choir, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also kind of sad because it was high church and kind of formulaic and just seemed lifeless.
It was just pure ritual. And I guess it just gave, what it did was give a warm fuzzy to everybody there, and they think they've worshiped.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I don't know. It was moving. I'll give it that.
Yeah. And the beauty of the places around. I love the stained glass, the places of worship. And I think back then they did a great job of making that worship was serious. Now
yeah.
we make it a rock and roll concert in some churches.
Yeah.
You know, that's not my style.
Right.
But they took it very seriously, and they wanted you to sit there and meditate on who the Lord is and what he's done.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
And so even though in these big cathedrals and everything, they weren't proclaiming the clear John 3:16 message.
No, they weren't.
Yet they were worshipful.
They were. You got to give them that. But I don't think they were that clear on the doctrine.
No. Although John Niemöll argues probably some people even came to faith in those services because they had a liturgy where they would read passages of Scripture from week to week to week.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally they would be reading verses from John's Gospel.
Right. There's no doubt that every now and then it would click in somebody's brain.
Right.
That's what's necessary. But my readings and my study of history, that didn't happen very often. You had to believe in the whole liturgy and stay faithful throughout your whole
life. That's what they
taught. In order to get to heaven, even.
Right. So the main way that people came to faith in Christ before the Reformation is the same way it is today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And how are they going to hear without a preacher?
Right.
There were preachers in these small assemblies that went out and talked to the Orthodox. They talked to the Catholics.
Right.
And they would say, no, no, no. It's not by following the seven sacraments. It's by believing in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And some people they would influence.
Well, some would.
Yeah.
But some of them, I think there are some people that are just so tied to ritual. They're addicted to it. That they can't give that up. And that's a shame. And that has nothing to do with faith. It has everything to do with feeling good emotionally.
Right.
And that's a shame. The good thing about it, I would say, is that if it gets your mind off yourself and on to the Lord, that's not bad.
Right. Absolutely.
So
what you got? A short one there, David?
Yeah. Richard wrote this email and asked the question. He said, Revelation 3:11 says, hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The question is, does this verse teach that believers can lose their rewards? Not salvation.
Right, but eternal rewards. Yeah, Richard, I like that question, and my answer would be we can lose potential rewards, as we say here in Texas, right? It's police and potential.
That's right.
If a person right now is walking with Christ, then they are set to rule with Christ and to have a crown, assuming they persevere until they die. Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in Revelation 2:26, he who overcomes and keeps my works till the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Mm-hmm. So what this verse is saying is, if there were people in this church who were currently overcomers, then they were going to win crowns if they held fast. But if they did not, then that potential reward would be lost.
That reward, but not all of them.
But it's not an actual reward.
Right.
It's a potential reward. Yeah, you're right. That's the other part, David. There are rewards, Matthew 6, 1 through 21, if we pray, give, or fast to please the Lord, not to please men, to be seen by the Lord, but not men. Mm-hmm. Then we're laying up treasure in heaven, and that can't be lost.
And it will not be taken. It's not like, oh, if I don't hold on, then I'm going to lose everything. That's not what this says. This says you will lose the crown, and a crown is a symbol of rulership. Therefore, you will not rule with him. But that doesn't mean you're just completely rejected by the Lord.
Well, obviously, we're not rejected in the sense of being his family, but we could be rejected and will be for rulership.
For rulership.
But not for all rewards.
I agree.
Yeah. So we need to recognize the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a full-orbed evaluation of our lives. In fact, I've got another question on that we can get to in the next episode. But until then,
keep grace in focus.
The Zane Hodges commentary on James, entitled The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing, is available at discount to Grace in Focus listeners right now at faithalone.org. Get half price through April the 30th, 2023, when you use the discount code word James. That's faithalone.org. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on Grace in Focus, will believers someday be judged for sins we've confessed? Be sure to listen to the next Grace in Focus. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.